The subject that was given to me was a modest life. A preacher friend of mine once said in a sermon that I heard from him that he went out for coffee. He was in a gospel meeting, I believe. He went out for coffee in the city he was preaching. And he decided to ask a person at random in the street, "What do you think about America?" And the man said, "I don't know, and I don't care." I think if he had asked that same question to other people at the same time, they probably would have answered the same way. But what if today we were to ask someone at random, what do they think about the importance of modesty? I would think that they would also say that they didn't know and they didn't care. Actually, even in the church, there might be some who would not appreciate for preachers to preach on modesty, because the problem of immodesty has entered the church. And sometimes I feel that we have not taught enough on it.
Amen.
And so this occasion, I'm going to talk to you about modesty according to the sacred scriptures. What does the Bible say about modesty, its importance, and how we could actually lose our souls if we're indifferent to this subject? I think that since God created us, He knows what's best for us. And we need to go to the scriptures to answer this question about modesty. 3 points that I'm going to start off with is the problem of immodesty and how modesty is actually a commandment of God, and how immodesty causes others to sin. First of all, the problem of immodesty is that it is becoming more and more prevalent. I know Brother Wilker was kidding about my age, but I did grow up in the 50s. I was born in 1949, so that makes me about 45 years old today. But anyway, I grew up in the 50s, and I remember the way people dressed back then versus how they dress today, and there has been a great change in the way people dress, in the way that students in schools dress when they go to school versus when I went to school, and the respect the students had for their teachers versus how they are today. Some of the teachers, my two daughters are school teachers. And I think that school teachers should not only get a salary for teaching, they should get combat pay. It's becoming dangerous in schools on how students behave towards their teachers. The lack of respect, the way they dress. I used to go pick up my daughters from school after work, and I would see that the way the students were dressed, and I thought they were all going to a picnic. They didn't dress like when I was in school. So the dress code has changed. And this change has happened very slow. It's happened so slow that we didn't realize that we were changing in the way we dressed. It wasn't like we went to sleep one night and we used to dress very modestly, and then we woke up the following day dressed immodestly. It's been a slow change, but there has been a change, and now we are where we are. And so this problem of immodesty has become very prevalent in our society, that the Apostle Paul considered, even back 2,000 years ago in the first century, the Apostle Paul considered this problem in the people of his day. He included that as one of the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. He used the word lasciviousness. The word lasciviousness means to cause or produce lust in another person, whether he is a male or a female. And the Apostle Paul made reference to that work of the flesh. And we are guilty of that work of the flesh by the way we dress. Today we're wearing clothing that very reveals the human parts. The shorts are shorter. The clothing is more, the blouses are more revealing. And the clothing is tighter. And all that creates lust and evil desires in the minds of the opposite gender. Also, modesty is a commandment. Sometimes people might say, well, it's my life and I'm going to dress the way I'm going to dress. I'm not the kind of person that keeps up with fashion. You probably, if you were around me day after day, you would notice that. Some of my fellow instructors used to say that they would buy me a new tie every time they had a chance because I kept using the same tie. I'm not into fashion. And sometimes the colors of my shirt, my pants don't match. But I do try to be decent. There's a difference in the colors that people choose. I've been in clothing stores and I'm looking at the shirts and the pants. And I say to myself, who would buy this shirt here with this color so bright, or this pair of pants so bright? And here comes somebody and keeps looking at those shirts and pants. And they probably, when they look at me, they probably think, who would buy those kind of clothing? And then they see me and they see that, I guess. And so we favor certain colors over other colors. But there's a difference in the color of shirts and pants that we use, or the dresses that women use, versus the clothing being modest or immodest. There's a difference. And we need to understand that modesty is a commandment of God. The Apostle Paul dealt with the issue of modesty in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. He said, in like manner, also that women, and like Brother Wilka said, what we're going to say here about modesty applies to men also, not just to women. He said that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. So we see here that it was a commandment of God. We understand that we receive authority from the Scriptures by direct command, by example, and by implication. Well, it is obvious here that what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9 was a direct command. It's not an opinion, it's not an option, it's not whether we like it or not. It's a commandment of God. Just like we're commanded to obey the gospel to obtain salvation, we're commanded to dress modestly to go to heaven one day. In the day of judgment, some of us might be lost, not because we were drunks or thieves or murderers, but because of the way we dressed. I was listening to Brother Wang Jones lesson on the family, faith in the family, and the responsibility that we have in the family and how our children dress. And what kind of example do we show our children the way we're supposed to dress in public, especially when we come to services, but also in public where people get to see us? How careful are we in the way we dress? What kind of example are we giving to our children? So this thing about modesty is not a matter of opinion. It's a commandment of God. Can you imagine spending eternity in hell just because of the way we dressed? I don't even want to think about it, but being in hell and being there forever and ever. There's no turning back. And why are people doing this? Why are people dressing in an immodest way? Because of the place they go for guidance. Where do people go for guidance? In the years I've been preaching for 35 years. In the years I've been preaching, I like to study human behavior. One of my daughters likes to hear me when I say that's human behavior. But I like to study human behavior, and I have noticed when I study the members, because I like to study the members, so that'll help me decide on some of the sermons that I need to bring. And I have found that those who are more responsible, or more respectful, or more humble, if I converse with them, it had to do with their guidance when they were growing up at home. What kind of guidance did they have? My parents were very good parents. Wife and I were never able to convert them to Christ. They're both gone now. But as far as they guided us very well. My father and my mother, they were my heroes. My parents were my heroes. Their guidance was the way it should have been. They were very mature. And so I see now in families, I see in members that even without they saying anything, that their guidance was not good when they were growing up by the way that they don't know how to respect. They don't know how to deal with other people. Like as if they don't have any feelings or they don't care about how other people feel. And then there are other members that are very respectful. And so their guidance. Where do we go for guidance? Where do we go to decide which is the way we need to speak, to think, to dress? Well, a lot of people go to clothing stores. What are the things that are popular in the clothing stores? Magazines or television? Instead of going to the scriptures to see what does God say about modesty. It's amazing. It's just amazing. In the years I've been preaching and teaching in the school and all this, how if we were just better students of the scriptures, we would have more answers to the questions that sometimes we have. The Bible pretty much has answers for all the questions that have to deal with life. We send our children to school so they can learn how to earn a living. The Bible teaches us how to live. But not just how to live right.
Amen.
And so we don't need to go to the clothing stores. We don't need to go to the magazines. And we don't need to go to television for sure. We need to go to the scriptures. The other thing that I like to talk about is we need to understand how immodesty can cause so many others to sin. One thing that came to my mind as I was going over this material over and over and over so I could present it better, that this question came to my mind. Am I my brother's keeper? Genesis 4 and verse 9. You know, when God was asking Cain for Abel, after Cain had killed Abel, and Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? The answer is, he was. We are responsible for those around us. It's not just a matter of, well, it's my life and I'm going to live the way I want to. No, we are responsible for those around us. When they see us, what do they see? Do we act, speak, react, and dress in a way that it causes other people curiosity? They see us, especially in the way we dress, and say, why does this person dress differently versus most of the people? Most of the people dress one way, and a few people dress differently. What makes them different? In Luke chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, we read that where Jesus said, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and be cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Here, we find Jesus telling us how serious of a sin it is to cause other people to sin. It's bad enough when we sin ourselves, when we commit sins, when we break God's commandments. That's bad enough. But when we even cause other people to sin. Jesus said that it would be better for that person to suffer a physical death by drowning. I remember many years ago when I was very young, one of my cousins drowned. One of my female cousins. She was like 9 years old. And I still remember the funeral of my cousin. She was a very pretty little girl and a very nice, nice little girl. But she and two of her older sisters were in a place close to the water, and they decided to go into the water, and somehow she slipped and went into the water, and they didn't find her for 3 days, and she drowned. Let me tell you what, that was one of the saddest funerals I have ever been to. And just knowing that my cousin had died by drowning. She died by drowning. And so Jesus here is trying to show us how serious it is for us to cause other people to stumble. And one good way to cause other people to stumble or cause offense to other people is by the way we dress. Now, three things. The reason for dressing modestly. Why do we need to dress modestly? Why do we need to be careful about dressing modestly? Well, because fashion admits that when it comes to the clothing they will sell, you see, in business, I know a little bit about business. I used to check up on businesses. Before I became a preacher, I was a publican, I'll confess. I used to collect taxes from the businesses, and I was not a very likable fella because I collected taxes from the businesses. And so I learned a lot about people in business. And I had to say one thing about people in business that I found, and I also was an auditor for the state, that I found about people in business. I would say that more than 90% of the people in business are good people. They're honest and they're good people, and they try to make a profit, but they're not very greedy. And so I would say, at least back then, back in the 70s, they were very honest people. They were in business. But the thing about business is that business is about making money. I don't know if you knew that. You know, business is not about losing money. Business is about making money. I used to work in the fields when I was growing up back in South Texas. When I wasn't in school, we were out of school, we'd be out there picking cotton or hoeing cotton or whatever. And there used to be a man that used to go, and it was real hot there in South Texas, humid and hot, and he would go selling soft drinks. And he was very popular, very popular. And I found out why he was so popular. He would buy soft drinks for 10 cents and sell them for a nickel. That's not good business. Buy them for 10 cents and sell them for a nickel. No, you should have been buying for a nickel and selling for 10 cents. You got to make a profit. I know that's what business is about, making a profit. But sometimes, you know, the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil. And it's amazing how people, because they want to make so much money so badly, they don't care if they're going to cause people to sin. And so when it comes to fashion admits that when it comes to the clothing they will sell, they style the clothing with the opposite gender in mind. Now, there's nothing wrong with us. Sometimes we dress in a way because we want to impress our friends. Well, we want to impress, you know, those that are not married yet, their boyfriends, their girlfriends, and those of us that are married, our husbands and wives, and so on. There's nothing wrong with trying to impress one another with the way we dress. You know, man, he dresses sharply, he dresses nice, and all that. As long as we don't violate the scriptures. But fashion is not interested in violating the scriptures or not. They don't care about the scriptures. They care about making money, even at the expense of our souls. You know what Jesus said about the worth of a soul? A soul was worth more than the whole world.
Amen.
And so they don't care about whether we lose our souls or not by the clothing that they manufacture. Their sole purpose is to arouse unlawful lust and passions and evil desires in others. And that's how they get to sell more clothing and more clothing and more clothing. Now we need to understand one thing about our bodies, our human bodies. You know, when we became Christians, we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to God. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are to present what? Our bodies as a living sacrifice. And we are not to conform to the world. Look at the world around us. There's a lot of pressure in people, especially in the young people in the schools. We hear about pressure, school pressure, or pressure from the other young people and all that. And none of us like to be left at, make fun. People see us as oddballs or not part of the group or whatever. And I know it's getting tougher and tougher for young people in the schools and anywhere, I guess. The pressure that they receive because they're different or they dress different or they cut their hair different. Man, some of the haircuts I've seen today are kind of scary. They're kind of scary. I've seen haircuts where it looks like a snow cone, different colors, and all that. And or young people with medals everywhere in their cheeks, in their forehead, in their ears. I see infection coming their way. And it's peer pressure. And it's not only happening with young people, even older people are falling to peer pressure and they don't want to be left out and all that. But the thing is, how much is your soul worth? How much are you willing to pay so that one day you can go to heaven? And so here Paul says to those of the first century, the brethren of Rome, and to us also, that we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, and not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our bodies. So how do we do that? We're to present our bodies as living sacrifices. Well, how do we do that? Well, I'm sure there's different ways, but one of the ways that we present our bodies as living sacrifices unto God and that they be holy and acceptable to God is the way we dress. The way we dress. Being careful how we dress. And like I was saying it before, when we obey the gospel, we no longer belong to ourselves. When I obeyed the gospel, my wife and I, we obeyed the gospel together back in November of 1977. Can you imagine? A lot of you probably weren't even born. But we obeyed the gospel in 1977. And I didn't know too much about anything. I came from the Catholic Church, so you can imagine. I wholly knew, I barely knew zero Bible. And so I had a lot of things to learn. And I'm so grateful that someone took the time to teach me the gospel. And so I could learn the commandments that God left for us. You know, the Lord Jesus left those commandments so that we could keep them, not just know them. A person can know the scriptures perfectly, but if he doesn't put them into practice, they mean nothing. Like James says, James 1, verse 21 and following, let not just be hearers of the word, but doers of it. Otherwise, we're deceiving ourselves. And so when we obey the gospel, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You know, when you study in the Old Testament, I've been very fortunate here in school that I practically have taught most of the Old Testament, all the books of the Old Testament, except for Brother Walker's classes, Minor Prophets, and he's been trying to give them to me. But most of the Old Testament I've taught, and one thing that's throughout the Old Testament that the nation of Israel considered very important was the temple of God. And you know why? Because it was considered the house of God. Can you imagine the house of God? How would you feel if one day the president, I don't know how you feel about the president of the United States. I'm just saying the president, because of his position, he's the president of the United States, the most powerful country in the world. And he give you a call and say, I'd like to go to visit with you in your house and drink coffee and maybe eat cookies there with you. How would you feel if the president of this country came to your house to drink coffee and eat cookies with you, visit with you? You know, the position that he holds, or the Queen of England. I guess they don't have a king right now, but or if they had a king in England and he would call and say, I'm going to come and I'd like to visit with you in your house, what would you give him? Food from the day before? Sandwiches? You know, here's a very, supposedly in the eyes of man anyway, a very, very important person. Well, the temple in the Old Testament was the house of the most important person ever, God. Yes. And we as Christians today, we are the temple. The church is the temple. The church is the house of God. Amen. And this is what Paul is saying here to the Corinthians and to us. He says, you, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, but ye are bought with a price. You are bought with a price. Therefore, look at this, a command from God. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Glorify God. How are we going to glorify God? By dressing immodestly.
Amen.
In Matthew 5, verse 14, Jesus says to his disciples and to us, ye are the light of the world. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're supposed to be the light of the world. But you know what I have seen in the years I've been preaching? Sometimes the world has more light than we do. Sometimes you can't tell the difference. Someone's supposed to be a member of the church. And the sad thing about it, sometimes even preachers included, preachers and elders and deacons, you know, who we are supposed to be setting a good example for everybody else. And even we have a problem with being the light of the world. Sometimes we have more darkness than light. In Ephesians 5 and verse 11, Paul writes to the Ephesian brethren and says to them, do not participate in darkness anymore. Have no participation with those in darkness, but rather reprove them. How are we going to reprove the world the way they dress? By dressing immodestly. I tell you what, it's not going to happen. And then last of all, I don't know how much time I have left, so I'm going to finish with this, that we always need to remember, never forget. You ever been to a trial? I like, back in Northeast Texas, I was a preacher there for 6.5 years, and I got to know the people in the sheriff's department, the police department. This is a small town, Clarksville, Texas, in the middle of nowhere. And there were thousands and thousands of illegal aliens coming to the area, so I got to preach, I have a lot of Bible studies there. And somehow they found out that I'd speak English and Spanish. So they called on me and said, can you come in and translate for the illegal aliens that are going to court? So I go to court. The court was right there in town, an old court. And I'd be there translating for the illegal aliens. And it gave me a chance to preach the gospel to them. Some of them got converted. You never know. Even people that are in trouble with the law get converted. Anyway, I remember being there, and before I became a preacher, my plans were I either wanted to be a lawyer or a doctor. I wanted to be a doctor because I've been a sickly person since I was a teenager, so I've been studying medicine. like a hobby. Sometimes I think I know more than what I know, but in a way. And I wanted to be a lawyer. So I went to college with the plan of either becoming a lawyer or a doctor, and neither happened. You know how things work out sometimes. And so, but God took care of me because he made me a preacher. And so I became both. A doctor, but in a spiritual sense. And I had to deal with the law. The Bible is the best law book in the world. And so here I am, without even thinking about it. I became a doctor and a lawyer. And all of you preachers are doctors and lawyers. Somebody says, what do you do? I'm a doctor and I'm a lawyer. And all that. But anyway, being there and they're holding trials, people being accused of this and that and the other, and their defense attorneys and the prosecuting attorney and all that. And I never forget when some of those people that were being tried for very serious things, when the verdict would come in and they would say, guilty, guilty. And then later on, they would sentence them to so many years in prison, life in prison, or whatever. But the look at the face of the person being accused and the verdict coming in and saying, guilty. Well, one day, that might happen to us. Because we're going to be judged. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. It's necessary that we all appear before the tribunal of Christ, and we all going to have to give account of what we did in our bodies, whether good or bad. And it would be really a sad thing that the verdict would be guilty, and we would be lost eternally because of the way we dressed. Or because as preachers, we did not preach the whole counsel of God. In the congregations where we preached, people were dressing in ways that were wrong, and we never said anything about it. You see, since we never said anything about it, we would be considered like co-participants of those in darkness. Ephesians 5 and verse 11 said, not to be co-participants, but to reprove those in darkness. And we as preachers never said a thing. Like the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 5, with that young man was a fornicator, and nobody would say a thing. If we're going to be preachers, elders, and deacons, if we're going to be teaching the Word of God, we need to be like the Apostle Paul. We need to preach the whole counsel of God.
Amen.
And part of the counsel of God is that we dressed modestly. Or are we preaching the whole counsel of God? God bless you all.